Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by Bluebet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
How much time till we're on?
We're on, Ron.
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
Kia didn't just make an eight-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Massive Tuesday with sport, but coming a little bit loud then, didn't
excited,
I?
Scotty Gary, Sattler.
Yes. But if you're the lover of Australian cricket, Australia in the third one dayer, which is currently on at the moment, the second rain delay. And Australia are dominating at the moment, 2 for 290 with both David Warner and also Travis Head, who's taken over Aaron Finch's role at the top of the order, have both scored centuries. Badge.
Head made 152. They actually went out in the same over. So, look, if the rain delays much further, England will be on the Duckworth-Lewis system. We're 2 for 290.
Yep.
They'll need to make 37 runs off 15 overs. So. Who knows what will happen?
Welcome to all the listeners through the Super Radio Network. SEN 1170 in Sydney, SEN 1620 on the Gold Coast, and SEN Track. And, of course, the SEN app as well. And we're live in Brisbane on SENQ, 6.93 a.m. and in Canberra on 13.23 a.m. Are you Terry Campese? I heard today my wife was telling me he's doing a bit of work for us as well.
Yeah.
Good man, Terry Campese. He's got a crust pizza. What is that?
He likes it.
No, he's got one. He owns one.
A pizza.
One of the franchises.
A store. Okay.
Yeah, it's a store.
Oh, beauty.
Yeah. Make sure you get involved any time on the show, as you do each and every night, 0457 736 736, or give us a call like Glenn the Reality King does, or Danger, 1300 01 11
70. No, don't give us a call like Glenn does.
And TikTok as well, Badge Sats, S-E-N. Yeah, as we said, Australia dominating at the moment. There is rain delay, 42.2 overs, still seven and a bit overs to go, and at 292, Badge, at one stage they look like getting close to 400.
Yeah, that's what we said, seven overs to go, so they could, they're taking the covers back off. Yeah, Glenn is like our Seinfeld listener.
Yep.
You know, Seinfeld's a show about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn just rings and texts and stuff. He's never got any reason why.
I love it.
He just wants to break in and let us know he's there.
That's why we love our listeners.
I know, and that's why Woogie hates it, and we love Glenn.
Because Woogie thinks the show's about, he doesn't want anyone else taking his time.
Mm.
He's actually not here again, as you could imagine now, because you're only hearing Badger, myself.
And Jack's here.
How are you, Jacko?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
So you woke up early this morning to watch the FIFA World Cup?
Yeah, now it's going to be a couple.
What did you watch this morning? I'm thinking you would have watched the England.
Yeah, so England, Iran, I basically fell asleep to that.
Yep. Was that good, was it?
Oh, no, it was okay. Just tired. Okay. You know how it goes. But yeah, this morning game I was up for, which was good too.
Now, Jacko, and I want to try and paint a picture here for the listeners. There's either yourself or Badge. Woogie never brings anything else. Myself, my wife, we always bring in something for everyone to share, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So Woogie not being here, we're not expecting him to bring in anything, but Badge brought in a muffin break bag today with one muffin in it.
Solo muffin.
Solo muffin.
And
Nothing for the rest of your team.
And I apologise because last week, Sat, you bought in a four-pack of them and shared them around.
Mm.
But I had an excuse.
What?
As I was leaving, my wife just came over from the shop and she said, I got your muffin. I went, thank you.
That's so kind.
But you don't then bring it into the office.
Well,
you eat it on the way in.
Well, you know what I also did?
So we don't talk about it live on air.
You know what I realised? Because Jack, what did I bring in yesterday for the team?
For the team yesterday? Oh, banana bread.
And you had one. You had one today, Sats. They're in the freezer.
Yeah, I did have a bit.
Well, that was mine.
Mm. But wasn't fresh.
That is good.
Okay.
And you're going away.
So you apologise?
You're going away tomorrow,
down in New Zealand.
What did you say, Fonzie?
For work.
You were what?
I was a roo. Yeah. We've got a couple of guests on tonight. Benny Jones, former Sports Day colleague Benny Jones. Any of our listeners would have heard Benny Jones over a number of years. He's going to join us live from Qatar at the moment to set the scene. Well, he won't be drunk. We know that. Drink responsibly. How's it going? Have you tried the...
It's green, Jack.
Have you tried the phone line?
I was ruined.
There you go. He found his quick.
Struggling, mate. Sorry?
Have you tried the phone line to Qatar yet?
Oh, yeah, we're working on it. I'm pushing in... pushing in dials.
See, Benny Jones is also very political. So if he starts getting very political, they may have the wires tapped. He may be locked up by tomorrow morning. So we never know. Talking cricket and how dominant Australia have been. One of Australia's great all-rounders, Shane Watson, he's going to join us on Sports Day also. A great cause in conjunction with Woolworths and giving back to flood-ravaged communities in the northern New South Wales region. He's in Mwollumbah. So he's going to join us to talk about the great cause and the local cricket club there.
Yep. You reckon he'll talk about the one day that's on at the moment
We're
as well?
We're going to ask him anyway.
We will.
Aren't we? Aren't we? True or false? We've got true or false tonight. Ask us anything. Any question. Badge, true or false, your nickname Badge was because when you were a young lad, you were named after your older brother, Young Badger.
I'm not answering that, Sats.
Why is it always such a secret?
Yeah, it's true, but it's boring. That's why I made up the story about getting the Badge of Courage for rescuing some drowning kids in the dam. Now I've given away my secret. Nothing to it. How boring. Hey, I want to ask Benny Jones, we talked to him about the World Cup. How is he smuggling in? I think one of the shows before us has been talking about that. How is he smuggling in drinks into the World Cup?
He found a way.
You tried it. I mean, it's worthwhile.
Is it worth
throwing into jail for 15 years in Qatar, isn't it?
You'd be well looked after in there, wouldn't you? He looks like a quokka. Yeah. Have you seen him lately? He's got his fluffy hair and all his beard and mutton. He looks like a quokka.
You know when he visited the quokkas in Rottnest Island years ago when we were on the air, like about 5 years ago. And ever since then, he's looked more and more like a quokka.
Absolutely.
It's like people that look like their dogs. Do you look like Frank?
I do look a little bit actually, like Frank. Now, doctors believe that they have discovered the mystery behind what caused Bruce Lee's death. Now, of course, back then they said it was brain swelling. There was all these urban myths about how he passed away. He had too many muscles and it crushed his heart and all these sorts of things. But, yeah, brain swelling. But this was in 1973. He was only in his early to mid-30s, I think, Bruce Lee. And, 32 years of age. Doctors say it was caused by drinking too much water.
Too much water?
Yes.
So you can drink too much water.
You can, yeah. Apparently If it happens if you drink too much water, it gets too much water in the brain cells and more or less damages them, drains and drowns them and causes brain swelling and pressure on the brain.
To drink lots of water. I know you can flush out your electrolytes if you have too much water and you run marathons.
Your mate gets cramps in the surf, doesn't he?
Yes. Mm. I went on a surf trip with Woodsy. Were you asking about my nicknames because of this story I put up here about one of the Socceroos?
What's that?
About his nickname.
Oh, well, I was sort of dovetailing into that.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Jason Cumming.
Yeah.
So he's a Scotsman who now plays for the Socceroos.
Yeah.
Can I say this name?
Well, I think
it's a wrestling nickname because he went up against some wrestler when he was playing for Hibs. Is that Hibernian?
Yeah.
Yep. In Scotland. And he said he put on the spandex and everything and he put a sign across his chest, Cum Dog, and that's what they call him. Cummins. Like, you know, you'd be Sats
what?
Dog.
Like, we're not lying.
Jack would be Jack Dog. So, anyhow, I'm not saying it again. Worst nicknames. What are the worst? So, what'd you call
Craig Gower?
Craig Gower.
Pig.
Pig, yeah.
Because when he had a few too many, he turned into a pig of a human.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, just mad, crazy. He wouldn't harm anyone or damage anything. He was just 100 mile an hour. He's a pig.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to call him Pig now because he's. His lovely wife, Amanda, doesn't allow us to call him.
She doesn't want to be called Mrs. Pig. That's not nice.
What about Graham Eady? Seven Heads.
Oh, Seven Heads.
Yeah, so it was Wombat, but it's also Seven Heads. Great guy, Wombat. But, yeah, when you look at him, we talked to Bear's Head yesterday, Brian Fletcher, talking about massive heads. And Graham Eady, his son Brooke listens to the show, actually, Brooke Eady. Seven Heads, because when you looked at Graham Eady, he had all these lumps all over his head. So
like other heads.
Yeah. Campion was the butcher because named after the Serena Butcher.
He's from Serena.
Yeah, Serena and Mackay in North Queensland.
I was on a surf trip, I think I mentioned this, and Fletch was on the same trip with a different group of guys. and they forgot all of our – we just
you
got
didn't
introduced
cross paths,
to them.
Did you?
We didn't surf with them. We saw each other every afternoon and night after we got back, and we'd, you know, we'd have dinner together and we'd watch.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the trip, they went, oh, we'd forgotten all your names, so we've given everyone nicknames. And went through a few of them. One of them, they called him Cartoon Face because he sort of got a pointy nose and chin and everything. Another one, they called him – you reminded me because they called him Seven Head and said, why do you call him that? Cause, and he's got a receding hairline. He said, well, if it's a normal hairline, it's a forehead, but his is further back, so it's not a five or a six, it's a seven head. He hates it. You can't actually call him that.
Now, 25th anniversary, and Badge, you would have – I think you would have seen this band quite a bit through the 80s.
Saw him once live – In Excess at, the eastern suburbs in Chandler. They played with Cold Chisel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was massive. It was massive in the early 80s.
25th anniversary today of Michael Hutchence passing.
Yes.
Front man of In Excess. And our Jack man here, he is a music man. Like, he knows music like we think we know rugby league.
Yeah. No, but he's even better.
But then he didn't know who In Excess were, so.
He did, so. Have you got something there for us, Jack? You might.
No, yeah, this is my favourite.
The original sin. Hey, tell us your story, your favourite song or your In Excess stories or your brush with fame, Michael Hutchence. Tell us anything about In Excess and Michael Hutchence if you want to give us a buzz, 0457 736 736.
Can I say, I never appreciated their music until he passed. It's been like that with a few artists of mine, but with Michael Hutchence and In Excess, yeah, I didn't really appreciate how good he was or the group was until he passed away.
Right.
Actually got to know Kurt Pengelly. Met him after a grand final one year.
Okay.
Mad rugby league fan. I think he's a Manly fan.
Is he the one that went out with Lane Beachley?
He's married to Lane Beachley.
Oh, he's
Beachley.
Married to her. Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, he did go out with her for a while.
Mm. Now, last night we spoke about team names. How do teams get their names? What's the story behind the teams? And this stems back to when I was at the Lower Clarence Jockey Club. Clarence River Jockey Club, I should say, at Grafton on Friday when I was emceeing a function.
The Grafton Ghosts?
Yeah, one of the, why the Grafton Ghosts? There you go. We've got a lot of listeners there on 2GF. One of the guys at the luncheon said to me, oh, you were talking last week about how team names got their names. And I love the Kyogle Turkeys. He's from Kyogle. He, as I said last night, Kyogle is indigenous for scrub turkey.
Yep.
So he said, oh, if you do a segment, can you do one on why teams get their names? And my favourite of all time is the Tabulum Turtle Divers, which is in northern New South Wales.
Yeah.
And it's part of the Bunjalung Nations mob in northern New South Wales.
See, I thought the Dolphins should have been something more modern, because this problem has been a lot. Should have been the Brisbane Bin Chickens. Well,
would there be too many dolphins? There wouldn't be too many dolphins in Moreton Bay, would there?
Oh, yes.
Is there?
Really? What's a dugongs?
Yeah, a lot of dugongs.
Sharks.
So the Tabulum Turtle Divers in the Rocky River, it's a tradition, the turtle diving, catching turtles, still to this day.
What, in Tabulum?
In Tabulum,
okay.
Yeah, in the Rocky River they call it.
What do you mean turtle diving? Just diving with the turtles or?
Catching turtles.
Well, you're not allowed to catch turtles.
Aren't you allowed?
Well, I suppose if you're indigenous, yeah. You probably can, but is that what they do?
Yep.
Where's Tabulum?
Tabulum's northern New South Wales. Yeah. So, look, the Cleveland Browns, for example, the NFL team, really boring.
Yeah,
the team's
is.
Nicknamed after their first coach, Paul Brown.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's really boring, isn't it? What about the Roosters? Now, I didn't realise this, and I may be wrong, so tell us, Roosters fans. We've got Roosters Muslim. I'm sure you're way in here.
The Redcliffe Bennetts, they could have been.
So, Roosters, since their inception, were just eastern suburbs until they formed their first crest on a jersey in the 60s.
Yep.
And the design had a rooster on the crest, believed to be inspired by the French jersey, which, of course, is Le Coq. Now,
the rooster.
The rooster. Mm. And from that day on, they became the Eastern Suburbs Roosters.
Well, the
now,
Scott,
what
you
do you reckon?
Are
what do you reckon? Woogie, what do you reckon?
Information.
Woogie would say if you said the rooster's Le Coq, he'd have something stupid to say, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd agree with you.
Hey?
No doubt at all.
Yeah,
being a South man.
Now, best text for the night, and this is only for our Southeast Queensland listeners, and there are plenty of them on 693 AM and also on the app and Gold Coast 1620. A pass for you and how many mates, Jack?
Couple.
Two.
Two mates. You guys have got an
OB. We've got an OB on Thursday night at Robina at the Sporting Globe, outstanding venue. So if you've never been, even if you have been, send us a text. Don't just say, I want to go. chime in with something. Give us some info.
Yep.
0457 736 736, and you could win that pass and come along.
Join Woogie and Badge. Let's get to a break. We've got plenty more to talk about in the next next 2 hours. I'm in New Zealand, Queenstown.
Right.
Mm. It's a low of 3 and a high of 13.
Can we just cross to you?
Can't wait. Can't wait. Former Australian all-rounder, one of the great all-rounders, Shane Watson's going to join us on Sports Day.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Dead straight. That's the place to go. And Shane Watson has converted to the three figures. Champion innings.
Yeah, 59 tests and 190 ODIs as well. A handful of T20s, and he is one of Australia's greatest all-rounders. He's got a great concept and great support for local cricket. And that man is Shane Watson. You just heard he's joining us on Sports Day. How are you, Shane?
I'm going great. How are you guys?
Really good. Really good. Now, we'll talk to you a little bit more about today's third ODO, which Australia are in great control of. But the Woolworths Cricket Blast. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here in Mooloomba Cricket Club to this afternoon. Woolworths have been very kind to be able to donate $50,000 to Mooloomba Cricket Club. They were hit very, very hard, as a lot of communities around Australia have been hit so hard by the floods over the last year. So Woolworths have donated $50,000 to be able to help them get back on their feet to renovate their clubhouse that was hit so badly by the floods. A very important barbecue to be able to help everyone sort of get the feeling that they need as well, and also just help the registration for the young T20 cricket blast as well. So there's, it's a great initiative from Woolworths because that's what the community's all about, to be able to help people get back on their feet when they hit some tough times.
Yeah, good on you, Watto. And this sort of stuff's needed everywhere, and great stuff from Woolworths for helping out. So this is also going to cover registration fees, I believe, for the kids for the cricket blast, as you said.
Yeah, it certainly is. Obviously, with this community being hit so hard by the floods, it's just, Woolworths are going to be paying for the registration fees for the Woolworths Cricket Blast for next season for any young boy and girl who signs up, just to be able to help them find their feet, to get back on their feet.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you doing this, because last time I spoke to you, it's Gary Belcher, it was about 20 years ago, and you came up with the Origin side up to Currumbin Valley at Gwingana. We had a bit of a cricket match. We always played a traditional cricket match. I think it came up with heels. Is that right? And I reminded Sats off the air. I think that was the time when Steve Walters, one of the managers, came out and batted his whole innings nude. Was that the same? The same one? I'm not sure.
Oh gosh, I remember that time like it was yesterday. I've always been a huge, growing up Ipswich, I was a huge State of Origin Queensland fan. So that was one of the highlights of my life, was being a part of the Origin camp.
Now, one of the highlights would
not
have been
Steve Walters.
He's had his big fat blurt.
Oh, he did.
Now, to what wouldn't have been great scenes is seeing the devastation that has happened to local sporting clubs, and most notably the Mooloomba Cricket Club there. What's the damage been like? Have you seen it firsthand now you've been there?
Yeah, so the damage has really been is especially around the clubhouse. So the canteen facilities just have been wiped out because of the floods. The ground is gradually sort of getting back to its best, but it's just been so difficult for the club to be able to just the canteen's non-existent, so it's been a very needed, much needed thing to be able to help the cricket club get back on its feet, and most importantly, as I know from a cricket perspective, the cricket clubs within local towns are the heartbeat of the community, so it's so important to be able to help the cricket clubs get back on their feet, because cricket's The summertime is all about cricket, so it's such an important time.
And you can hear all the kids in the background having as much fun as possible, and it's a great initiative of covering the registration fees. And what's been the feedback with registration numbers in and around those regional areas? Is it still very strong?
Well, it's been a tough time in the regional areas and around Australia in general, just because of obviously COVID to start with, and then going into the devastation of the floods in these regional communities in particular. So, the registrations are really starting to pick up here. Here at the Moolambar Career Club and in around the Tweed Coast, they are seeing the registrations really start to pick up now. But it has been a very tough time for all communities and all community sport with the challenges that have been around for the last couple of years, but things are definitely starting to pick up, and this donation by Works will certainly help the youngsters continue to be able to get into cricket and start their journey of the great game of cricket, which has been so good, such a huge part of my life.
Yeah, well, while you're out there helping the grassroots, Watto, the big boys are underway. In fact, the Aussies are nearly through their innings. Not sure if you're probably keeping an eye on this. 3 for 306 Australia. Six overs to go. Travis had 150 and Davey Warner scored a ton. Looks like we've got our openers locked down, especially Travis Head for the short, long and mid-term.
Oh, absolutely. Travis Head certainly made the most of his opportunity to be able to open the batting, and 152 is a great statement to say that this is my position. So, like anything in life, you need to be ready to take an opportunity that comes your way, and Travis said by getting 150 today certainly do that. It's a great time for him to be able to put his hand up with that opportunity that's there.
Do you reckon the Poms have taken their foot off the throat a bit since they won the T20, or is it just we're far and away a better ODI team than we are in the shorter format?
England are a very good one day and T20 team. I think they're just still in celebration mode after winning the T20 World Cup, which is an amazing achievement from their group with a new captain, with a new coach, with Matthew Mott as well. So I still think they're probably still celebrating such a great achievement. Obviously, the Australians have had to regroup very quickly, and they've got a lot of those players, and the team have got a lot of big points to prove. So you can see why the Aussies have been so dominant in this series, knowing that the English have still probably enjoying a few beers celebrating.
Yeah. Now, we're talking to Shane Watson here on Sports Day. Shane, you would obviously keep an eye on the all-rounders, and currently Cam Green seems to be the man for Australia. Everyone keeps questioning what sort of format he'll fit into. Is he the all-rounder that will fit into all formats, you think?
Oh, he certainly is, yeah. He's got all the skills. He's got the foundations of an incredibly sound technique to be able to play very well and for a long period of time in Test cricket, and then he's got the power and the skills with the ball to be able to integrate that down into one day in T20 cricket as well. So I never miss a game that he plays because I just love watching him play the way he goes about the game. He's got extreme height as well, which is a huge advantage as a bowler to give him a little bit more of a competitive advantage over the batters as well. So he for me is certainly I think he's one in the generation cricketer of his skill set that he has. And he seems like he's got a really good head on his shoulders as well, and he's just taken it all in his stride, which is even more impressive with the skill set that he's got.
Yeah, Mitchell Starc, did he remind everyone, especially the selectors, in the ODIs, how potent he is after being left out of those clutch T20 games?
Yeah, I know. It's too hard to get your head around, isn't it? That last game against the big game against Afghanistan, Australia needed to dominate that game, which means you need your biggest and best wicket taker to be playing. And it's Mitchell Starc. He doesn't normally need too much of ammunition to be able to show how good he is. And he certainly showed that in this series, which is no surprise to majority of people around Australia and around the world.
How relieved would the Poms have been at that time when he wasn't playing? Hey, how's your book going, mate? I know you released your book. It was only a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah. Winning the inner battle. It's going really well. It's been really nicely received. It's just a mental skills book specifically for cricket, but the principles are very across the board to anyone who wants to be the best they can be and just understand how to create the right mental environment. So it's gone really good. It's something that I've always, from the time that I got I got access to this information about 5 years ago. It's been in the process to be able to get this book out there. So, and I'm self-publishing it, so I'll have to put it out there. The only way that you can purchase the Winning the Inner Battle is through my website, shanewatson.au. So it's going really well. I had a sense with working with people around the mental skills for the last 4 years that it's going to be pretty well received, and it has been, which is really nice.
Christmas coming up too. Yes.
Perfect timing. What's in it?
Special.
So, Shane Watson, tell us what the inner battle is. What's the inner battle within people?
You got to get the book.
The inner battle is the demons that we always fight. It's just that the internal dialogue that's always there, and just understanding that we can control it in internal dialogue if we really want to, because we do have that control over our mind. Just understanding the skills to be able to just make the most of that control that we do have to be able to try and win that battle every single day. And that's everyone's always performing in any part of your life. And for us to be able to be the best version of ourselves, we need to understand exactly what mental environment we need to be at our best. Some people, and a lot of people, just innately sort of just know how to get there, but a lot of people, and I was certainly one of those, I was very good at sabotaging my own performance because I was very good at beating myself up.
Interesting. Now, I'm sure this is in the book, but out of all the great players you played with or against, is there a player that comes to mind that was able to control that inner battle? Was that be able to control every facet of their professional life?
There was a few that really stand out to me. Shane Warne was certainly one of those. He was just incredible. Just been able to shut out the noise and just focus on what he needed to do every single ball and just do it ball after ball. That was one of his incredible strengths. Matt Hayden was probably the one that stood out to me. He was able to develop that mental toughness to be able to not even have the discipline in his own thoughts to be able to not even look at the scoreboard and just be that process driven on just watching and reacting to the ball coming down and doing that ball after ball that he didn't even look at the scoreboard and to know how many runs he was on. And that for me is incredible mental discipline and mental toughness, just to be able to just stay totally present and react to the ball that's coming down and have not allow yourself to be able to have any other thoughts infiltrate your mindset whatsoever. So that for me was something that was very, very inspiring.
Great insight. ShaneWatson.au if you want to get the book before Christmas. Great Christmas gift. And you're there for also a great initiative and great support for Moranbah Cricket Club and in conjunction with Woolworths, giving back to the regional cricket much needed, which was heavily affected by the floods. So Shane Watson, thank you for taking time out and joining us on Sports Day.
My pleasure. It's great to chat to you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no, great guy. Great cricket player too, wasn't he? Badge. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival, GUV. More after the break.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival, GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Welcome back to the show. And if you want to win a Ziggy, which is a tremendous barbecue by Ziggy Ziegler and Brown, there's summer. Go to icanwin.com.au to go into the running to win a Ziggy by Ziegler and Brown. Make sure you go on and have a look at their range. It's absolutely outstanding. Let's get to an NRL update. And there's plenty going on in the world of rugby league still. And even though there's nothing to be played for up until our trials in February, there's still a lot going on. And it's a great scene, wasn't it, Badge, at the Sydney airport this morning. I think around 5 a.m. in the morning, there was hundreds of Samoan fans that gathered to welcome the Samoan Rugby League team home.
Family, friends, yeah. And, of course, as we know with the Samoans, the Tongans, the Māori, amazing singers. Just have a listen to their reception. That's just a snippet of it. They did so well, and despite the fact they didn't win, it's a momentous occasion for Samoan Rugby League, and As it was with Tonga in 2017 at the World Cup.
I love, great. And it's a word that we're going to listen to very soon when we talk about the Kangaroo team that's just come back from the World Cup and Mal Meninga and the word connection. And I think sometimes in Australia we're very quick, and in the media we're even quicker sometimes to try and drag our sportsmen and women down whenever we get an opportunity to.
But yep.
When you look at a lot of the Pacific nation, you know, the nations, the countries like your Tonga, Samoa, Cook Islands and Papua New Guinea and Fiji, they've just got this great connection with the community and they share everything amongst the community. I love the scenes. I love the scenes of Mount Druitt when Penrith, which has a huge focus from the Pacific Island nations and how much they celebrate the connection with their players, and much like the Samoans welcoming home their side. It's a good time for Samoa. I mean, we've been very critical of Samoa and their international program for a number of years, and I think rightly so.
Yep.
But this is a huge step forward. As we said last night, I think England have probably dropped behind Tonga and Samoa with the way both those nations are playing.
Perhaps, yeah. Mm. Yeah. But, you know, we've got more competitive teams now. We used to just have three, and now we've got at least five and six. And yeah, and of course the Kangaroos arrived home as well, and their coach Mel had a chat this morning on Brekkie with Patton Heels.
Yeah, but it's also more about the scheduling. But I was going to ask you this, Badge, because you can probably comment better than most. You went on two Kangaroo tours, 1986 and 1990. 86 was the Unbeatables, not the Invincibles.
The Invincibles was 82.
Yeah, the Unbeatables. And Mel, as you said on Patton Heels this morning, wants to talk about the international game and how do we capitalise on the World Cup momentum. It's all about the scheduling and possibly introducing Kangaroo tours back.
Well, we need a schedule. We haven't had a schedule for a long period of time, so we just don't know where from year to year what's happening, you know, in our game. So we knew that obviously with you know, the pandemic that put a bit of a hold on everything, but I just feel now that we can't let this chance go by. We've got to have a schedule. We've got to have a four-year schedule, say, from World Cup to World Cup. It's just like the good old days when we had Kangaroo tours. You know, it was from Kangaroo Tour to Kangaroo Tour, then you had all these scheduling in between. So, you know, once you've got your schedule, then obviously, you know, you can start to build your assets around all that. And, you know, when you get sponsors can jump on board, your supporter tours can jump on board, players can start planning, you know, what they want to do as far as their, you know, who they want to play for and things like that. I think that's the important part.
Yeah, television rights, all of that stuff that ties into it, getting a better schedule. Now, because there's been a lot of drama in the game and then, you know, COVID and there's been so many interruptions, but I think Mel is right. One of the issues they've got with Kangaroo Tour sets, and I love a Kangaroo and I'd love them to go again, and we used to go and play, you know, for the best part of 3 months and about 8 weeks in England and then three in France. Well, you can't really go and spend that long in France anymore. They're not strong enough. I reckon you could maybe go and play maybe both clubs over there and a test on the way over as sort of a warm-up and then go to England. You want to play against the best club sides, which helps them out, and then you play some tests. We used to do that because their season was just starting. Mm. Now they play at the same time as us. So for a lot of the clubs, if they don't make the finals, they're finished in August, and you're going to arrive in October, maybe November, and start to play against the English clubs. It's just tricky, isn't it, to have all of those players and clubs available so far out of their season when they're normally having their off season.
I think a lot of the players at the UK Super League clubs, the provincial sides, your St Helens and Leeds, those really strong clubs, I still believe a lot of those players, they're on show. You know, years gone by when you're on Kangaroo Tours, Badge, that was a great opportunity for the UK players to possibly look at a short period in the NRL. We saw Martin Afai come across Phil Clark,
but also
and
to play
Betts.
Yeah, and it was just a buzz as well for all the fans, and just to play against the Kangaroos and be part of that that whole experience. And we were going to play teams in Cumbria up in the northwest, and you know they didn't have players that were going to make it in the NRL, but the long proud tradition in Workington and Warrington and all these other clubs. So yeah, I know what you're saying. Just a little bit tricky, but I suppose if they said, hey, you've got to keep training for the next 6 weeks because you're going to play the Kangaroos, I suppose they would.
And you're not going to get paid extra for it. Now, something back
part
in the 80s.
Gate takings.
Something part of back in the 80s and 90s that you never had, Badge, was the Rugby League Players Association, which is a great thing for the game and the code, and
yes,
as is the AFL all sports that have the players' associations. But now there's a period where they don't want you to play, train, do anything. You've got to have downtime. So, yeah, the last Kangaroo Tour was 1994. Do the current players, do they understand how important a Kangaroo Tour was for the game? I love that nostalgic component of the game. I don't think we can lose that nostalgic component. Reintroducing a Kangaroo Tour, I think, is really important to the game. It's only once every 4 years. It's not every year.
Yep.
And even playing those provincial sides, you wouldn't be playing. How many games would have you played on a Kangaroo Tour base? Terry Lamb played every game of
20.
Of 86?
20 games.
20 games.
Yeah, and I think in 90 it might have been the same, 19 or 20.
Who played? Was there a player that played every game?
Terry
Lane?
No, I don't
Not
think there
Brandy,
was.
Not Brandy, no?
I think Barra is the only one that's ever done it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of games, but he kept insisting. Donnie Ferner was going to, you know, stand him down at the end of the tour and say, hey, have a rest. And he said, no, I want to play. I want this record, you know, with a couple of weeks to go. And I think it might have been the King, who was the captain, went to Donnie and said, no, play him. He wants to play. So he's on the bench for the tests and played every other game at 5'8" or...
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
And
it
he
was
missed out
amazing.
On 90, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
Mm. Now, the Roosters, we've got a lot of Roosters fans. They've blocked...
Must have been injured.
Would have to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's still in the middle of his career then. He won a comp in 95, of course, with the Doggies. So Roosters have blocked the return to Queensland for young gun Sam Walker. I've got no doubt the Dolphins would have been very keen on getting Sam Walker. He's reportedly signed a 2-year contract extension to remain in Bondi until the end of 2025. Now, this year was the first time both he and Luke Keary got to spend multiple weeks alongside each other.
Yes.
You saw the improvement with the Roosters when Luke Keary came back to assist him. So his contract expires at the end of 2024. They'll have at least 2 more years together. And
I've been reckon a bit more.
I've been so impressed with his first 2 years, Sam Walker.
Mm.
He's been a dominating half, hasn't he?
Yeah, he is.
And
he's,
as well.
He's just such a whippet, but knows his way around the field, doesn't get smashed. Yeah, really, really impressive player.
I've got to say, you always want to protect your assets as a sporting organisation. And I think Sam Walker and Luke Keary are obviously huge assets for that club. And will remain together for many, many years if they can. But to protect your asset, I really believe that the Roosters should offer Ben and Shane Walker some sort of coaching role.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Because...
Well, he might... sure he stays.
I think it's a
He might not want Dad around.
I think it's a matter of time before the Walker brothers get an NRL coaching gig. And I think if Justin Holbrook wasn't installed as the Titans coach... and it was given to the Walker brothers, I've got no doubt that Sam Walker would have followed father and uncle.
Are they still coaching?
No, they're not.
So has that opportunity passed for them to get into the NRL?
No, I don't think it
still
is.
Chasing it?
I just think they've got to get back in the game. They've got to get, even if it's at Queensland Cup level, Host Plus Cup level.
So they're going to be back in and do it for a number of years before you're going to take the next step up to NRL.
Whenever they coach, they have immediate success. They have really good positive changes in a club. If they did that over a 12 or 24 month period, I don't think it's a matter of time before they're thrown into the mix again. They're still spoken about when they're not coaching. So there's a good opportunity for them when they are coaching to get a start sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Let's get to a break. The 8-seat Kia Carnival, a grand utility vehicle. Coming up next, we'll get to some of your texts.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. We had Shane Watson on earlier on talking about the new concept with regional cricket in conjunction with Woolworths giving back to regional cricket in those flood-ravaged areas. He's in Woolloombar. If you want to catch that interview, make sure you get the podcast wherever you podcast from. And NFL news, and Badge, he froths on the NFL news, streaming every NFL game this season live on NFL Game Pass. Visit NFL Game Pass. com. There was one result overnight or early this morning, Australian time. San Francisco 49ers, they defeated the Arizona Cardinals. Now, if you are an NFL fan, and San Francisco 49ers there, they'll take them to 6-4. So they're on their way to the finals. And the Arizona Cardinals, they're 4-7, which means they'll probably miss out as Badge falls asleep.
Are you into this baseball stuff, Jack?
Yeah, New Orleans Saints.
Are you really?
Who Dat Nation, yeah.
Who Dat Nation. Actually, you've got a fan also, Badge, when you talk about the NFL. It's Adrian, of course. We're talking about team names, how to teams get names.
And yeah.
Talked about the Cleveland Browns was named after their first inaugural coach. He said, boring name, Cleveland Browns, for a boring sport. That is a punishing to watch. No, Adrian, it's a great sport. You've got to appreciate it and understand it a little bit more. That's why we do the NFL Game Pass promo.
I got one here from Sean at Lennox. Great show. Just say this. If Cricket Australia overturns Dave Warner's ban, I'll stop watching cricket. He damaged our reputation beyond belief, and that will always be referred to as the darkest day in our proud sporting heritage. Well, he made 106 today, so I'm forgiving him.
I think everyone is...
No, well, not everyone, but I think a lot of people...
A majority of people, I think, have moved on.
Well, I have, and you have.
I think they made a really strong statement. Hasn't. Australian cricket... drew a line in the sand. We don't care what any other country has done and players.
And no other country has come down this hard on players for ball tampering.
He was caught twice.
Yeah.
So I think we've made a really big line in the sand statement to any future cricketer that wants to think about it. So,
well, you know, he's allowed to appeal.
He is.
He hasn't been overturned yet. He's allowed to appeal, and that's only fair.
Yep.
We'll see where that goes. Travis Head made 152, Australia 355 with what, a couple overs left?
Third rain delay,
yes.
Now, the Great Ocean Road Beach Volleyball Fest, the Volley Fest in Torquay, begins today. The Volleyball World Beach Pro Tour is returning with Volley Fest and, as I said, starts today with some of the best international beach volleyball players competing on the last stop on the road, the ocean road, to the Beach Pro Tour Finals.
What's some other part of the world?
Test 0457. 736-736, if you want to join the show, Badge. What's some other text there? On the topic of club nicknames, Daniel from Prairie Wood always listens on the SEN app. Thank you, Daniel. Badge, Sats and Jacko. The Foundation Club Western Suburbs officially became known as the Magpies in 1928. Prior to that, the Western Suburbs were officially referred to as the Cherry Pickers due to the number of orchards around the Inner West, Ashfield area.
There you go.
I love that, Daniel.
Wouldn't be as many now.
No.
Text here from number ending in 127. Sats, Samoa, Fiji, Tonga have shown how much NRL players want to represent their heritage. Here's hoping Volandis and Abdo have the courage to allow Indigenous players the option to compete in the next World Cup in the Kangaroos side or the Australian Indigenous All-Stars team. Oh, I just wonder if that'll happen. I've got some doubts, but...
I don't think we need to divide.
Might be a bit of a push.
I don't think we need to divide by having an Indigenous side. That's what I think. What do you think? 0457 736 736. Let's get to a break. The 8-seat Kia Carnival, a grand utility vehicle. We have a lot more NRL news, a little bit more about David Warner as well. So make sure you stay on the line.
Benny Jones is going to join us from Qatar.
Benny Jones is going to join us live from Qatar to give us his insight into the World Cup on the ground. This is Badge and Sats. Don't go anywhere.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to the second hour. What has been a pretty heavy Tuesday, hasn't it? A lot to talk about.
Bit of fun.
We got halfway through it.
I don't think they're coming back in the one day. So 48 overs, third
Lewis.
Rain delay, and we'll know what England's chasing soon. But the Aussies, off to an absolute flyer. Travis Head, 150. Dave Warner, 100. And we've made 355 off 48.
Thanks to all our listeners through the Super Radio Network, Southern Cross Austereo, SEN app, 1620 AM on the Gold Coast, 1170 in Sydney. SENQ 693 AM in Brizzy and also 1323 AM in Canberra. If you're listening on the app, thank you very much as well. We're sitting here at the moment and we're going to talk to Benny Jones, former Sports Day colleague who's over in Qatar for the World Cup. We're going to get his opinion on the ground of the World Cup so far, 2 days in. But while we're sitting here waiting for Jacko to get hold of him, we're watching a replay on Fox Sports 502, 1990 semi-final at the Sydney Football Stadium. Gary Belcher, beats the first tackle. Alfie does the cover.
Should have got penalised. He went high, Alf.
And it's the semi-final against the Brisbane Broncos. Wally Lewis's last game, he had a broken arm. Remember, this is the 1990 Kangaroo Tour year, which he missed out because of that,
yes,
that broken arm.
Yes.
But he came on in this game, Badger. I remember he came off the bench for this game. And
I think this was the prelim final.
It was, yeah. It was a knockout. A knockout either way, yeah.
Yeah, so the winner goes on to play the Panthers.
Yeah, Billy J. Smith, the commentator, with David Fordham and Tony Durkin as well. So, and before that, actually, it's great looking at some of these old repeat games and looking at players.
Still just kicked a 40-20 before they were even 40-20s.
No feed.
Yeah.
No feed to Canberra. Look how lean Lazo is.
Anyway.
Looking at players that you forget about. And you said, you made the comment, some of the shooting stars, players that weren't in the game very long but made a huge impact when they did. And I was looking at this Newcastle and Manly game being played at Newcastle, and Newcastle fans and listeners on 2HD, you'd know that, remember the player that I'm talking about. There was a fullback playing, and I couldn't remember his name. I knew it started with M.
Flash, Ash Gordon?
No, it wasn't Ash Gordon.
How good was he? Oh, was he mostly a winger and a fullback?
Yeah, he was a great player. Could play anywhere, Flash Gordon. And I looked up his name, and what a great player he was when in his short stint in rugby league. Milton Thaiday.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
A very good player. He was Torres Strait Islander.
Yes.
I think he played rugby for the Waratahs
before he went
to the Knights.
Townsville boy he was.
In the early 2000s. Very, very good. But he got injured, didn't he?
And he did. I'm pretty sure he got a bad injury.
Didn't play a lot of games.
I may be wrong, but let us know, listeners. 0457 736 736. I can't remember what happened to him, whether he went back to rugby, whether he, from memory, he got a bad injury and was never able to really return to the days that he was remembered for when he was playing for the Newcastle Knights. So keep your text coming along for McDonald Jones Homes, 0457 736 736. The McDonald Jones birthday sale is now on.
Some texts here, and we've got Sats and Badge. It was a great night last Friday night, Sats, down in Grafton. You raised a fair amount of money. Nicknames, he had a train driver mate of his dad's called Two Planks because he wasn't as thick as one. He was thick as two. Grafton Bronco. Good on you, mate.
I was hoping to see Grafton Bronco at the Clarence River Jockey Club on Friday. I thought he might have been able to put a face to the name. But, yeah, we did raise a fair bit of money, $10,000 for the Donahue family, whose son Finn is only 2 years of age, got diagnosed with leukaemia. So hopefully that goes a long way to helping them get through the next stage. We've got him on the line, have we, Jacko? He's our on-the-ground correspondent in Qatar. Woo-hoo! For the World Cup. He loves his Liverpool and he loves his football. And that man is Benny Jones. He's on the line. How are you, Benny?
Hello, Sats. Hello, Badge. That sounds like a very official title, mate. I feel like it should be a paid role, surely. But no, pleasure to be talking to you from, of all places in the world, Qatar. Can't believe I'm here, but we're 11 hours away from Australia's first game of this World Cup.
Now, we're paying you in beer, drink responsibly, and you should get that delivered to your hotel room in Qatar anytime soon. But paint a bit of a picture for us. What's it like over there? Is there a lot of fans on the ground? What are the stadiums like? They look like they're next level.
Yep. Look, where do I start? I suppose the first couple of days, we got here last Friday, so Saturday morning Australian time, and it looked dead set, resembled a morgue. There was no one around, we were all sort of looking at each other thinking, surely there's not a World Cup starting here in 2-3 days' time. But, the sort of preceding few days, obviously they've been scrambling to get things organised. They've had 12 years to plan for this, but it feels like they've done it in the last 12 weeks. The fans are rolling in now. The games have started. It definitely feels more like a World Cup, but it's certainly a massively different atmosphere to my experience in Brazil, even going as far back as Germany in 2006. It's unique. Let's put it that way.
Benny, it's Badge. Great talking to you, mate, and thanks for joining us. So are you going to plenty of games, or are you just doing the Aussie games? And is it a bit restrictive with ticket prices or anything?
Yeah, so good to talk to you as well, Badge. Look, yeah, 12 games in the 14, 15 days I'm here, I'm attending, so I'll get to all the Aussie games. I've been to three already, so opening ceremony and the opening match with Qatar and Ecuador. Yesterday was a double header, and I guess that's what makes this a pretty unique World Cup. It'll be the only time you'll ever be able to attend multiple matches on the one day. I think that the eight stadiums here, the furthest apart any two are, is about 70 kilometres. So public transport is readily accessible. It's actually one of the smoother processes here, and getting from ground to ground with a few hours between matches is really doable. So yesterday was England and Iran, and then followed up by my beloved Wales up against the United States. So it's a footballing smorgasbord. I'll probably over it by the end of the 2 weeks. But ticket prices, look, you know, for these sort of events, you expect they're going to bump up a little bit. So for a basic ticket, you're looking at around 120 Australian dollars, and you can upgrade from there to a 250 or a $400 ticket. So I've tried to keep the budget reasonably restricted to the Cat 3 tickets. But, I mean, the stadiums, as you touched on their stats as well, are just incredible. You can't actually get a bad seat, no matter where you are. So it's been quite mesmerising walking into these brand-new stadiums, of which there's eight, and I think of which six will be pulled down straight after the tournament. So it's crazy to think that they've been built. Billions of dollars have been spent for what will probably host three or four games each.
Plenty of Aussie fans over there?
Yeah, Badge. Look, they've all rolled in now. I think someone said rough numbers on the ground's about 7,000, 7 or 8,000. So, you know, hopefully we can bring the voice tonight up against a very tough opponent. Of course, we know France well from the last World Cup. We know they're the defending champions. It's going to be a really tough ask, but yeah, we'll be here in number and doing our best to get the boys up. And you know what it's like, Australians, when there's a big sporting event on, doesn't really matter what sport it is, they will attend. So it's good to see plenty of green and gold here in Doha.
So what about where you're staying, your accommodation, Benny? We're led to believe $41,000 Australian for hotels to get the subscription to show the World Cup in bars and restaurants and rooms.
Yeah.
So is it showing in your hotel room?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was one of the other sort of controversies sat in the lead up that I know ruffled a few feathers, and there were a lot of genuine fears that we'd come over here and you wouldn't be able to see games that you weren't attending unless you were at sort of one of the sanctioned FIFA fan fests, they call them. But that's all just been blown out of the water. I mean, every TV, beIN Sports, are running six channels. You can watch the games in Arabic, in English, in French. It's not a problem. I think obviously there was a little bit of fear that might be an issue with the licensing fees, but they've obviously FIFA have done a bit of negotiating and they've nipped those in the bud. So yeah, no issues getting a TV to watch the game. Getting a beer to watch on the TV the game is the issue that a lot of us have had to overcome. Look, again, it's another one. If you want a beer, you can find one. You have to pay a premium. And it's just, it's all about smart and savvy shopping. So we've had to look around a little bit. But you know, us Aussies will always sniff one out. So yeah, they are here, the beers, but just a little bit harder to find than maybe your usual sort of World Cup scenario.
So if Australia don't make it through to the final 16, which I think they will, Benny, I think they'll shock a lot of people. I have faith in Arnie. Yep. If they do not make the final 16, so who do you support then?
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked this a few times, even while over here, with some sort of international media that are always looking for people to stop and have a chat. Look, coming in, it's a boring prediction, but, you know, you look at the likes of Argentina and Brazil, who are, you know, coming off the back of these incredible streaks where I think Argentina haven't lost a game in 35 international fixtures. Brazil, you look at their squad on paper and it makes you tremble if you're a defender looking at some of their goal scoring options. So they're the likely ones. I mean, England were pretty impressive yesterday, albeit against Iran, and I think we'll discover that the Asian nations will really battle in this World Cup. They're so far off the pace, it's not funny. Hopefully Sats, you're right, and hopefully Australia can reverse that trend tonight. But Denmark are in our group. They're another side that's expected to go really deep, and then you've got Portugal, Uruguay, the usual suspects that are going to be there at the deep end. There's usually six or seven teams that can realistically win a World Cup. You don't get someone really bob up from outside of that. So I think those sort of names are going to be your likely contenders.
What do you do outside of the footy, Benny, when there's no, when you're not, I mean, in other cities and places you go for, there's stuff to do. Is Qatar like that, or you're struggling for, you know, for other places to visit?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the extracurricular activities are plentiful, Badge. It's, you know, I'm about to head to the 3-2-1 Qatar Sports Museum, which has been obviously filled up with a lot of FIFA and World Cup related products. You know, obviously the likes of Diego Maradona's boots and Cristiano Ronaldo's jersey. So I'm going to go just do that to really just eat up an hour or two, because it is a long time until we kick off. 10 o'clock tonight is the kickoff over here. Obviously, that's, I think, about 6 in the morning for you guys. So because the middle parts of the day are so hot, you're generally just trying to lay low and try and find, as we said, a bar or a hotel that is showing the games and sit back and relax, because, yeah, through the day, you can gas yourself pretty quickly if you go out and try and do too much. Of course, there's the inland sea, the desert. You can go and do a bit of dune bashing and ride the camels. And, of course, museums and Islamic art, it's all there if that sort of floats your boat. But, no, predominantly, mate, I'm just sticking to the football and trying to rest up in between the many matches I'm attending.
Now, they're never shy at spending money on everything. Like you said, with the stadiums, Benny, you just got off a train as well. What's the public transport like? Is it pretty efficient?
Yeah. One big tick. One really big tick. Absolutely. I'm just getting a thumbs up. I'm in an Argentinian kit at the moment, so they might think I'm Lionel Messi. I'm about his size. So, thank you, mate. No, the public transport stats is superb. It's actually really efficient. All colour-coded lines, so even the most simplest of men like myself can follow it pretty easy. You're right about the... I mean, the gap in wealth here is staggering. Obviously, the rich and the poor, there's a massive chasm there. So they do not spare expense. Everything's gold-plated. It may even be real gold, for all I know. You can just tell from these stadiums and the infrastructure around that they haven't saved a penny, but it's probably the periphery stuff. And that's probably what's left a few people a little surprised, is that, the preparations for this were still continuing almost up until the minute the first ball was kicked, and a lot of roads are still in disrepair. And the outskirts of the stadiums, it becomes pretty rough pretty quick. So, it's amazing to see where the money's gone, and it's even more, as I said, amazing to think that in about 3 weeks' time they'll start pulling most of these stadiums down and shipping parts off to other parts of the world.
Crazy. As you travel in and around Qatar and go to game, what do you got to be careful not to do?
Good question, Badge. Obviously, a lot of differences in the way that the people over here operate on a day-to-day basis. Look, there's just the general, I guess, common sense and also, culturally sensitive things. For us blokes, you're not going to be wearing singlets around, even though it's very much singlet and footy short weather. It's not really a given that you're going to be allowed in anywhere dressed like that. So, shirts and generally pants, you can get away with shorts, but it's not too bad. For the girls, it's a bit more restrictive. Obviously, when they're in certain buildings, they have to have the head coverings and the like. Obviously, there's no drinking in the street. It's hard enough to get a beer anyway, but there's no drinking in the street. And you've got to look both ways when you're crossing the road here, mate, because they don't use blinkers. They're very much an optional extra. So if you're crossing the road, you do so at your own peril. I'll give you the tip, and there's been a few close shaves already. So, look, beyond that, common decency rules, no, you don't sort of swear or carry on in public. You are a guest in someone else's country. You're always very much aware of that. Beyond that, it's obviously a little bit more... straight laced than probably what we're accustomed to back home.
Outstanding, Benny. Thanks for giving us an update. Very interesting. And you'll be flying the flag for the Sports Day team over there and all the Aussies. And I've got no doubt your Liverpool jersey and your Collingwood jersey and your Collingwood shorts will get a run while you're over there.
I have brought the Liverpool kit, but I've left the Collingwood one at home, mate. It's obviously pretty proud of what the boys did this year, but I'm not sure it quite resonates with the Qatari public, and I don't think anyone's going to want to sit and chat to me about how robbed of winning a premiership this season. So, no, definitely repping Liverpool, repping my beloved Wales, and, of course, the green and gold will go on tonight when we take on France. And Yeah, look, people around are here pretty bullish that we could do something. You know, I don't suggest we're going to win the game, but maybe we could pinch a draw and frustrate them. We went pretty close in Russia in doing that, but you know, a bit of luck went against us. So they're a powerhouse. They're going to be mighty hard to beat. So, yeah, let's just hope the guys can put in a really good shift and do us proud.
Outstanding, Benny Jones. We'll check in with you again next week. Thanks for taking time out.
Have a few beers tonight, mate. Yeah. Check's in the mail.
Just relax, mate. Just relax and have a few beers.
Yeah. If you can get those through customs, boys, you're magician. So I'll sit and wait at the airport for those to come through. But no, always a pleasure. I love chatting to you guys. And yeah, if you want to touch base anytime, mate, you guys have got my number. So yeah, be great to chat through the cup.
Great stuff there. Benny Jones there, live on the ground in Qatar. Let's get to a break. The 8-seat Kia Carnival, a grand utility vehicle. Make sure you text us 0457 736 736. Get us anytime.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Second hour. Great chat there with Benny Jones on the ground in Qatar. We'll catch up with him again next week after some of the results. And for a sports update, join Robson Civil Projects, jobs at robsoncivil.com.au, and Badge, the third ODI and Australia, 48 overs and third rain delay. So they've basically called it on the Australian innings. They've sent the English in.
Yep.
And they're into the second over.
Yeah, we made 355. On 48 overs, 152 to Head, 106 to Warner. Mitch Marsh chimed in with 30. And on the Duckworth-Lewis system, England are going to face the same amount of overs, 48, but they've got to get more runs. What? They've got to get 364.
How does that work?
Oh, I don't know. Are they saying because they know? I don't know.
They're saying that if they would have batted the entire 50 overs based on the run rate.
Well, I don't know exactly why, but anyway, they've got to get more than we did, which is a pretty tough target. 364 they need to get. Early overs, I think Cummins is in the first or the second over, so no wickets down, none for seven, second over.
Rooster Man saying, why not take a one day to Newcastle or Canberra? Because the argument is that the crowds haven't been there.
Well, especially
the
on the end of a big, you know, the T20, and they're a bit quiet at the moment. Good idea. So that would have been a great idea.
We spoke about nicknames as well early on in the first segment, and Marty from Bathurst said, g'day Badge and Sats. What about Phil Sigsworth's nickname? What's a Packeter?
Yes.
One of the famous ones, greats, wasn't it?
Mm. No doubt at all.
Now, sports update, on top of the cricket as well, the AFL Grand Final, officially a sellout just hours after tickets went on sale. And so it should be as well, because I think taking it to the Springfield, which is the Brisbane Lions' new training high-performance facility.
In the western suburbs.
About 10,000?
Yeah, 10,000. Not a lot of seats, but 10,000 in. It's a sellout.
Well, it'll be fair to say for the Sydney listeners and down in Canberra, 13:23 a.m. as well, is that it would be the equivalent to maybe if you're the Sydney CBD, Springfield would be about Parramatta?
Yeah.
35 minutes, 40
minutes
west.
On the way from Brisbane if you're heading towards Ipswich.
Yep.
Out that way. It's a real young family area, go-ahead area. So I think it's a great idea, and they've nailed it. You don't want to have 10,000 people in a 40,000-seat stadium.
Yep.
Like the Gabba or
$10 tickets.
$10 tickets and giveaways for kids, I think, too.
Kids are 10 free. So well done. So they'll get a sellout there. Now, Eddie Jones is probably one of the very highly credentialed, we know that, is wanted by not only rugby union, but also rugby league clubs are very interested in the services of Eddie Jones. He's on the brink of apparently agreeing to an 8-year deal to coach the United States.
Well, it's massive. Remember, he actually coached after he finished with the Wallabies. He coached Japan and had one really
of the big,
helped them.
Had
build.
One of the big World Cup boilovers as well.
Yes, yeah. So the United States want him to jump on board and help them. You know, step up a level or two, looking for some big improvement, and he'd be a great mentor for that. So is it likely that he's going to finish up with England, or he's definitely going to? Scott Robertson apparently looks like he could take over.
Scott Robertson is job. New Zealand Crusaders.
Right.
Former Crusaders. I think he's had success there. Really good. He's a guy that does the break dancing, I think, after they win a Super Rugby tournament. But if it looks like he's going to leave, it, you know, for coaches like that, Badgetts, they really are, they're hired guns, aren't they? Because they're great at what they do. And when they are so sought after, you know, money talks, doesn't it?
Yeah,
an 8-year deal would be worth an absolute fortune.
And the US Eagles haven't qualified for next year's World Cup.
We're talking to Matty Rogers once, Badge. When you were away, Matty Rogers came on the show, and he's had a lot to do with Eddie Jones and rates him very highly. And Eddie Jones, a little bit like Michael Chica, has grown up a lot on rugby league. Matty Rogers believes that Eddie Jones could make the transition to league really easily. From a coaching perspective.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Righto.
So very well thought of.
Hey, while you're talking about the US, apparently Matt Burton, former Panther, the Bulldogs gun, who's been on the away with the Kangaroos, his agent has revealed he was approached by NFL scouts to take part in the combine. Now, that's for aspiring players.
Then if you do impress, you then go into the draft.
Yeah. Mm. And this is all about his massive kicking game and the kicks, the stuff that he puts up. And it got me thinking, he's knocked it back because he wants to stay with league for a while.
The best part about him, just sorry to cut you off, that when he puts his kicks down, which are very strategic in NFL, probably more so than rugby league, it's more about what they call the hang time, the amount of seconds it spends in the air. So without getting too technical, another feather in his cap, that there's a lot of time that the running backs, the special teams who return the ball, if they break through...
He's got them covered.
Well, if you're able to tackle as well, you are highly celebrated. So he's the man. So, yeah, sorry.
$1 million bonus. But who else? Who else had the great kicking games that would have gone well? Because I'm just thinking back, you know, when I was playing, Ricky Stewart could belt the ball.
Latrell Mitchell's got a massive kick.
Latrell has. Yeah. But remember Greg Brentnell, who had an AFL background?
Big left footer.
Yeah. Great bulldog, one of their all-time greats, and involved with the Melbourne Storm. But he had a huge boot, I think, bigger than anyone in the game at the time. So I wonder who else could have done it. It's a big thing. There's a lot of AFL players that go and make the transition, don't they?
Yep.
Whether they've played or not quite made it or had a good career.
Jack Whiten's got one of those big booming left footers
as well. He has, yeah. As you said, you've got to be able to control it extremely well. So, yeah, 0457 736 736. Any listeners want to... tell us that.
Your man,
as
Ricky Stewart.
England lose their first wicket.
Milan
gone. They're 1 for 15. Yeah, one of their guns. He made two off
Josh Hazlewood.
Just four balls. So Hazlewood's come in and
so consistent, isn't he? So disciplined in everything that he does. Josh Hazlewood always hits
inside
the mark.
Inside edge, he got
a little bit like Glenn McGrath, isn't he? Always hits the right mark. What about Ricky Stewart?
Yeah, I said that.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Well, he had an arsenal of kicks, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Mm. The big torpies. And yep. Yeah, he had on a string.
Now, before we get to the break, Jacko, I'm going to bring you in here because I know we spoke to Benny Jones just then, but we didn't speak about some of the results of the World Cup overnight. And before you do that, we got a text earlier on, and it was from Steve. He said, good to see Jack fall asleep with the soccer. He knows how I feel.
Yeah, sorry, mate. So I'm disappointed.
Give us some updates.
Well, yeah, we had a couple of games overnight. So Netherlands beat Senegal 2-0. Pretty decent performance. Obviously, Senegal is the best side out of Africa. Recently won the AFCON, but they are missing Sadio Mane, their star player. Runner-up for the Ballon d'Or this year. Mm-hmm. So Netherlands got the job done there. England defeated...
almost won the best player in the world too.
Who's that?
Mane.
Don't listen to him.
It's very good gear. England defeated Iran 6-2. Fairly good performance out of them. Also, it's great to see those players that kind of suffered a lot of abuse after the Euros for missing the penalties all get on the scoreline, which is great to see. Iran, you know, got a penalty late on as well, so it doesn't really reflect the score there. And Wales drew with the US 1-1.
Well, Benny Jones would have been happy as his Welsh blood.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would have went to that. But yeah, the US went up early and they were playing really good football, but Wales clawed it back with a penalty for Gareth Bale. So yeah, 1-1 on that one.
Is he still playing Gareth Bale?
Yeah.
What a long-time superstar.
Well, when he really exploded that where he was the massive draw card, he was really young. He was only about 21 before he went to Real Madrid, and then he kind of stayed there for a long, long, long time.
What's he now? 30?
Oh, I don't know.
Not quite.
I don't. Yeah. He'd be over 30, but only just. But now he's over playing in the MLS, playing for Will Ferrell's football team.
Does he own his own football team in America?
He's a part owner. Yeah. They've got a massive falcon or an eagle or something.
Yeah.
That does a massive lap around the field before the game and lands, and he was the first one to throw it out.
A real one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will Ferrell threw it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they got in a bit of trouble because obviously they posted a photo with Gareth Bale and the Welsh flag when he scored the penalty, and a lot of the American fans did not like that at all. But yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Because they're angry that the American club was celebrating someone scoring against America.
Oh, God.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
He played at Los Angeles FC.
Yes.
And he's 33.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
Now, we also spoke about team names earlier on. How do teams get their names? We spoke at the Roosters and Tabulum Turtle Divers, the Kyogle Turkeys. Team names. This is from 127. The Gympie Stingers. He said Michael Hutchins was also Stingers. Our Jim Morrison 25th anniversary for his passing.
What stingers do they have in Gympie?
What would be stinging in Gympie? I'm not quite sure.
Like nettles on the ground. There's no water there. They're not in the ocean.
Let's get to a break. 60 years of family culture. Join the Robson Civil Project. That's our sports update. And they are a team for the opportunity of a lifetime. And also Kia, great supporters of Sports Day. They didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Welcome back to the show. We got true or false. Now, have we got a stinger for true or false or not?
No.
You didn't make
it. Nothing for you. Come back 1 year.
That'll do.
I like it. Badge, what do you got for us?
Sats, true or false on the World Cup topic. Socceroos to make the round of 16.
True.
You think so?
I think they will. I think they'll get a draw against France. I think they'll beat Tunisia.
Right.
And I reckon there's a chance we'll draw or beat Denmark.
So Tunisia.
Denmark are a top 10 side.
So Denmark or France have to miss out then?
France
for
will
us
go
to
through.
Go through.
France will go
so
through.
So France and us.
Yep.
Wow.
I have faith in Arnie.
Cool. Not sure.
Do you look at our squad, Jack? Does it look like a final 16 side?
No. But you never know. With the style of play, like if Australia are really frustrating.
How
physical,
big of a loss is Boyle?
Martin Boyle, yeah, he's a very, very talented winger. He can do a lot with the ball up and down, so it is a loss. But yeah, look, we could have one of the best players in the world. I still don't think it matters unless cohesively we play with the strategy that's gonna get up there. Yeah,
it's a good word.
Thanks,
word
mate. Word of the day.
Okay, Badge, true or false? The man who last week threw eggs at Prince Charles was charged. That's true.
True.
His conviction was that he is never to be seen within 100 yards of Prince Charles moving forward.
True.
False.
Well, why?
I tricked you there.
Oh.
It's false because his conviction was he's never allowed to be seen in public with eggs ever unless he's got a receipt from the shopping centre.
Are you kidding? How weird.
That's a weird conviction, isn't it?
100 years ago, they would have thrown him in the clink and might have beheaded him. Okay. Tough. They're tough over there, aren't they?
Yep.
Sats, Penrith, true or false, Penrith will agree to host the World Club Challenge against St Helens. There's a bit of...
true.
They weren't real keen at them. Well, they're keen, but they're just holding out a bit for some money.
$100,000 they want for it. And I think they've got every right to. I'm going to say true because, one, I think you want to be... If the challenge is there to be crowned the world's best team officially... We know Penrith are the best team in the world, but to officially be crowned, and I think this young group of players, I think any team that would win it would really crave to play the UK champions. Mm. Who'd you play? Widnes.
Played Widnes, got beaten. Yeah, that's right.
You went over straight after the grand final, didn't you?
We did, yeah. We were a bit under the weather and didn't put in our best performance. But I reckon if you've asked the Penrith players, do you want to play Parramatta?
In a trial,
yep. Or do you want to play the World Club Challenge? I know what they'd want to
Absolutely.
Do. And I know the hierarchy there have to push for the best deal and whatever, but honestly, they've got to play it, haven't they?
Yep.
While St Helens is over here, great opportunity. I'd love to have said we were World Club champions, the Raiders, but we weren't. Mm. Witness beat us, and we never played for it again.
Well, Bradford beat the Panthers convincingly as well. Now, Kangaroos and Rabbitohs star Latrell Mitchell, looks like he's going to enter talks with South Sydney. Now he's back in Australia. He's only 25 years of age, and he's never alluded that he'd ever want to leave, and he loves South Sydney. He spoke about, didn't he, Jack, publicly a couple of weeks ago about how much he loves Blake Solly, the CEO of South, and how he's a father figure?
Yeah, massively. He spoke, it was regarding the RLPA kind of thing, and he was saying that he's done so well representing the players. He loves them, everything he does for the club, everything he does for the players. And really, you got the sense that it means so much more to him being at that club than just...
Well, he's allowed to negotiate now, isn't he, Badge? He's officially off at the end of 2023. And I think clubs haven't really approached his manager because they just know that he loves being at South. So my question to you is true or false? Latrell Mitchell on the open market at 25 years of age, he should be the highest paid player in the game.
On the open market?
Yep.
Oh,
like he is now?
Certainly right up there. But I think, I don't think I don't think he'll go in the open market, and I don't think South will need to pay him. Like, to be the highest paid player, what are you going to get, 1.3 or something?
Well, it'd be 1.3 officially.
I think he'll be getting great money. It might be around 900 or a million a year, but, happiness and being at the club and everything else that goes with it is much more important than that extra bit of money if you go to the wrong club. So, I can't see him leaving. I'm saying false. He won't be the highest paid player in the comp.
Because he won't need to be.
But he could be the happiest and the best player for sure.
Now, we talked about team names. We talked about nicknames earlier on the back of, is it Jason Cummings? Was it the soccer player?
Yes, the dog.
His nicknames, can you say? You can say it because it's in the paper today.
Yeah, it is.
So worst nicknames, we had Packet of Sigsworth. We had Seven Heads, which is Graham Eady. The Pig, Craig Gower. And we have one here, which is from Clacker.
Mm.
Clacker from Chindera. He says, what about Undies? Dale Stain. His nickname's Undies.
Yes.
Undies Stain.
I love that. Actually, Paul Sirenin nicknamed Dan Stain's that underpant on the Kiwi tour in 1989. Stainsy came over with the Aussie side, and he nicknamed him Underpant. Underpant Stains. Loved it.
Now, 127... In relation to team names, why the Gympie Stingers?
Yes.
Says, why Stingers? Google the Gympie Bush.
The Gympie Bush.
Gympie Bush. Hope you never get stung by one.
Right.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Also, Matty Burton, NFL.
It's a stinging tree.
There you go.
The Stingy Bush or the Gympie. Oh, brilliant. Hey, actually, we got a few here about kickers. Remember I was just saying who could have been a great – a great kicker in the NFL? Pat Richards.
Yes.
Or couldn't he launch it?
Mm.
Johnny Peard, Steve from Dubbo.
First to really invent the bomb, didn't he? That was, hence his nickname.
That was Michael from Des Moines who threw up Paddy Richards. And Mark Harris, Bruce from Blacksmiths here. Mark Harris could really boot it. He actually went and had a crack, didn't he?
He did.
In the NFL.
I think he was a running back or, yeah. He was... You look at some of the footage of Mark Harris. He was athletically, when you looked at him first, he didn't look like the speed that you'd have for a man of his size. A little bit like, we're watching that game now, Badgers. Wally Lewis makes his way onto the final against Canberra. And you've been watching this game with great interest, but how fit
it's
Mal
distracting.
Looked.
Oh, Mal's just, score his second try, set a couple up. He's brained him.
Mm.
I reckon he should be an immortal.
Unofficially, Steve says, you're an idiot. Sorry. He kicked one over the dead ball line. He kicked it too heavy. He said, how's he an immortal? Steve says, unofficially, Latrell would be already around the 1.6 mark.
Oh, look, he'd be on really good money, and he will get good money, and he'll get some great endorsements. So he won't be getting that. I don't think so. Hey, talking about Mal Sats, on Patton Heels this morning, talking about the Kangaroo squad, because he's just come home. And he went on four tours himself, and he knows the importance of everyone getting on and gelling and working together. And this is what he had to say about the team.
Yeah, just from day one, you could see there's James Tedesco talked about connection, how we, you know, one family. We talk about, you know, just regardless of what happens, we all stick together, you know, on the footy field and off it. And I thought, and in my experience, honestly, mate, it was one of the happiest groups I've ever been associated with. That's in my playing days and obviously in my coaching days. So they all bonded really well and everyone's for each other. And that team environment, you know, was created by the players and all the staff, and the families end up coming over the last few weeks as well. So, I mean, it was like one big family reunion there at one stage. And, you know, I was really pleased with the outcome, obviously.
Are you offended, Badge? He said it's one of the happiest teams from his coaching and playing days. You're not offended?
He said one off. That means top 10.
Hey, it's a fair rap, isn't it? With all the success he had with that Queensland side for a number of years and that core group of players that were together. And I look across this Australian Kangaroos side and knowing some of them like I do that I've met through the game and our role in the media, and you know, a lot of them are Penrith players. I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of those guys through my link with Penrith. I've got to say there's not too many bad ones amongst them. There's some real quality human beings in that side.
I absolutely
can see why they got on really well together.
Absolutely.
Well, Badge, we talk about, you know, some of the media outlets like to say that, you know, Mal's done a great job, which he has, and they say, oh, you know, they've been bashing each other senseless during Origin, and somehow he gets them to all fall in line and love one another as teammates. But, I mean, there was no different when you were playing, when Origin was out of the way and you were playing international footy, was
Look, Mal gets representative footy and he played so much. And from a young age himself and with some of the all-time greats, and he gets what it takes. It's not just a matter of bringing them together and telling them a game plan. There's a lot more to it. In fact, it's probably more so about getting them to buy into you know, what they've been selected for, which is such an important thing. So he as a representative coach, I don't think there's any better. He's shown that.
Absolutely. Let's get to a break and we'll wrap the show up after the break. The 8-seat Kia Carnival, great supporters of Sports Day Kia, have been for a number of years, and they have also got the Kia Carnival, a grand utility vehicle. Back soon.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, we're near the home straight and we'll have a weather update for Nufarm, Australian through and through. If you're listening in Queanbeyan on Canberra, 1323 AM at 2LF for your Wednesday cloudy. Yeah, Wednesday's cloudy with a top of 19, slight chance of a shower and a low of 8 overnight. Nufarm's products are formulated with the highest quality right here in Australia. Nufarm, Australian through and through. Time for this.
It's time for the last blast on Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Now, Badge, the Japanese supporters, and you were talking to Jack about this earlier on, about the Japanese supporters, why they're so parochial in soccer.
They're known as being the best fans. Jack, why?
Well, essentially, they've got the reputation at the last few kind of big sporting events for their fans cleaning up after themselves. So basically, massive supporter groups.
Wish I could teach my daughter.
Well, there you go. But they'd bring a lot of plastic bags and fill them with rubbish. Now they've been seen doing it at games they're not even playing at.
So at
Qatar versus Ecuador, the opening game, you did see a group of Japanese supporters fully decked out, but going around picking up rubbish, cleaning up after the fans.
Confirm nor deny the Qatar officials were paying them to do it.
I don't think so, because they've got history here. They've done it at a few events.
Do the Japanese fans that don't clean up, do they get booed? I reckon there's...
Do they get ostracised by the other fans?
Yeah, they've got fans that won't go anywhere because they're worried that they're going to... they're going
to be singled out.
Or they're going to have to clean up after everyone else.
Mm. Yeah, but it's a nice thing to be known for. World's best fans.
World's best cleaner-uppers. Good on them.
Yeah,
they got
nice.
That out of the All Blacks playbook.
Sweeping the dressing room.
Yeah. Now to the football fans, even sporting fans that want to watch Australia tomorrow morning. What time, Jacko? We've got 6 o'clock
6 o'clock Sydney time. Yeah. So New South Wales and the others, 6 o'clock, 5 a.m. For Queensland. That's when Australia takes on France. It's gonna be great.
Other games
tonight at 9 o'clock. You got Argentina versus Saudi Arabia. That kicks off at 9 o'clock.
That'd be one-sided. You reckon?
But any chance to watch Messi at a World Cup, especially this one?
It'd be a messy game.
Unbelievable stuff, Badge. Midnight Denmark versus Tunisia. Those are the other two.
So we want that to be a draw, don't we, or to be even an upset?
Oh yeah, a draw would be good. I almost think a upset would be better if Tunisia, but I don't see it happening. Mexico versus Poland at 3 a.m. Sydney time, 2 o'clock Queensland nice as well. Work. That'll be tough.
Now Paul Gullen, he has urged Sonny Bill Williams. He's fighting tomorrow night, of course, against Justin Hodges. Really good boxing card if you like your boxing.
Yeah.
Siwa Taukaaho is fighting Jamin Lowe, former NRL player, South Sydney.
And,
He's urged Sonny Bill Williams to try and replace him as Australia's reigning pay-per-view star. Now, how much do you think Paul Gallen's made in the last 3 or 4 years?
Lots. Tens?
$25 million.
$25 million?
From boxing.
Wow.
Good on him.
That's gross.
Yes.
Got to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, time for this.
Okay.
Jack. Come on Jack. Sports Day, it's time Jack. For the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
I'll give you a dad joke.
This is Badge tonight, yeah.
What do horses say when they fall? Sorry.
What?
Help, I've fallen. And I can't giddy up.
That's good. That's really good. I love that. Thanks for Benny James for joining us on Sports Day over in Qatar. And we'll catch up with him next week. Shane Watson as well. Join us with the Woolworths pledge towards Moolambar cricket and regional cricket, grassroots, and also you, the listeners. Thanks for joining in, being part of the show. This is Badge and Sats. Well, I won't be here tomorrow night. It'll be Badge, and looks like it's going to be Badge and Jack.
Yeah. Unless I'm sick.
See ya.
Jack and Woogie.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.